Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
So we shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 17. The Lord travels to Vrindavan. Text 181. Mahaprabhu Tanrayadi Bhiksha Magila Dainyakari Sevipra Kahite Lagila. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu willingly requested food from the Brahman. And the Brahman, feeling a natural humility, began to speak as follows. Tumara bhiksha diba bada bhagya se amara Tumi ishwara nahi tumara vidhi vyavahara It is a great fortune for me to offer you food. You are the Supreme Lord, and being in the transcendental position, you are not restricted in any way. So what is the meaning of you are not restricted in any way? I mean, I know the literal meaning, but what's the significance in the present context?
In the morning you told me that the brahmanas cannot cook food. She's allowed to
cook. Yes. Sannyasis are not supposed to eat food cooked by Sanodiya Brahmanas. So here the Sanodiya Brahmana is saying, because you're the Supreme Lord and are in the transcendental position, you are not restricted. Text 183. Murkaloka Karibeka Tomara Nindana Sahite Na Parimu Se Dushtera Vachana. Foolish people will blaspheme you, but I shall not tolerate the words of such mischievous people. So why did he say foolish people will blaspheme him? Yes, they'll criticize him for taking food cooked by a Sanodiya Brahman. And how will the Sanodiya Brahman respond to the blasphemy?
You will not tolerate it.
Yes, you will not tolerate it. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that although the Brahman did not belong to a superior community, he fearlessly chastised so-called caste Brahmins because he was situated on the platform of pure devotional service. So from the material point of view, he was in a lower caste. So someone in an inferior position cannot criticize someone in a superior position. But although he was in an inferior position materially according to caste or community, spiritually he was in a superior position because he was on the platform of pure devotional service. And so he could fearlessly chastise the caste Brahmins. There are people who are opposed to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's accepting a Vaishnava belonging to a lower caste. Such people do not consider Mahaprasad transcendental. And therefore they are described as murka, foolish, and dushta, mischievous. Yeah, there's a verse that one who considers a Vaishnava to belong to a particular caste or community, one who considers the deity to be made of stone, one who considers Ganges water to be ordinary water, one considers Charanamrita to be ordinary, one considers Mahaprasad to be ordinary, they are Nardaki Saha, they have Prabhupada said they're residents of hell. And Mahabharata also says, and you may know the verse, Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnava Svalpa Punya Vatan Raj from Vishwasvanaya Jayate. Only those with sufficient piety can understand that Mahaprasad Govinda, the Brahmins, the Vaishnavas, the holy name of Krishna, they're all the same on the absolute platform. So the Sanudiya Brahmin was a Vaishnava. Whatever he cooked would be accepted by Krishna and become Mahaprasad, and therefore it's Mahaprasad, it's transcendental. It's not food cooked by a Sanudiya Brahmin, but it's Mahaprasad. For such people do not consider Mahaprasad transcendental, and therefore they are described here as murka, foolish, and dushta, mischievous. A pure devotee has the power to challenge such high caste people, and his brave statements are not to be considered proud or puffed up. On the contrary, he is considered to be considered straightforward. Such a person does not like to flatter high caste brahmanas who belong to the non-Vaishnava community. Text 184. Prabhu kahe shruti smriti yat rishi gana sabe ekamata nahe bina bina dharma. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, the Vedas, Puranas, and great learned sages are not always in agreement with one another. Consequently, there are different religious principles. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Unless one comes to the absolute truth, there is no possibility of agreement. Nasasrishi yasimatam nabinam. It is said that a great learned scholar or sage cannot be exalted unless he disagrees. That's actually a line from that verse I quoted. On the material platform, there is no possibility of agreement. Therefore, there are different kinds of religious systems. However, the absolute truth is one, and when one is situated in the absolute truth, there is no disagreement. On the absolute platform, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipable. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 1855, Bhakti Mam Abhijanati, Yavan Yaschasmi Tatvata. On the absolute platform, the worshipable deity is one. Who's the worshipable deity? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the process of worship is also one. What is the process? Yes. That process is bhakti. There are many different religions throughout the world because they are not all on the absolute platform of devotional service. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 1866, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mam Ekam Saranam Vraja. The word Ekam means one. And what is that one?
Krishna.
The word Ekam means one. Krishna. On this platform, there are no different religious systems. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.2, Dharma Projita Kaitavo Atra. Does anyone know what that means? Second verse of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra. It means that cheating religions are rejected. On the material platform, religious systems are different. Srimad Bhagavatam describes them from the very beginning as Dharma Kaitava, cheating religions. None of these religions are actually genuine. Why are they cheating religions? What is the cheating?
There is material platform. For some sense, there are ultimate goals.
Yeah. Sorry?
Direct bhakti for Krishna as well.
Yeah. Prabhupada quoted this verse, Bhakti Mam Avijanati. Do you know what that means?
The devotee knows me.
Yes, I can be known only by devotional service. Bhakti Mam Avijanati Yavan Yas Chasmitakvata. Krishna says, I can be known only by devotional service. So the cheating religions are not presenting bhakti. Krishna says, I can be known only by bhakti. But the cheating religions are not presenting bhakti as the process. And so by following the other religions, one cannot know Krishna. One cannot get Krishna. So they're cheating people. They're supposed to be teaching a system of worship of God, but they're actually cheating people because by the materially motivated so-called religions, you cannot get God. You cannot know God and you cannot get God. So you're being cheated. The genuine religious system is that which enables one to become a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the words of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6, Savai pum sam paro dharmo yato bhastir adho suje ahai tukhi apritihata yayatma su prasidati. Does anyone know this verse?
Bhakti, which is unmotivated and uninterrupted.
Well, you got some of it. You got some of it. Savaitam sang paro dharma. That means it's superior religion, paro dharma. Yato bhaktiradho sange is that which brings one to the platform of bhakti, or love, or God. Ahaitukhiya pratyeka, that was the part you understood. Ahaitukhi means causeless, without any cause. And apratyeka means without any interruption. Then yayatma supersedity, that means that can satisfy the self. So people want satisfaction, and they go to the church or temple or mosque for satisfaction. But they can only be satisfied if they engage in pure devotional service without any material motivation and without any interruption. So how many people do that? Very few. Hindus, Christians, or Muslims, very few do that. So they're not satisfied. They're always fighting, quarreling, trying for more and more material things, or out of frustration, wanting to merge and become one with God. They're not satisfied. So to read the translation, the supreme occupation dharma for all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendental Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. On this platform there is nothing but the service of the Lord. When a person has no ulterior motive, there is certainly oneness and agreement of principles. There's no separate interests. There's no separatism, no separate groups. So there's agreement in service to Krishna. Since everyone has a different body and mind, different types of religions are needed. But this is on the material side. But when one is situated on the spiritual platform, there are no bodily and mental differences. Consequently, on the absolute platform, there is oneness in religion. Hare Krishna. So, do you have any questions or comments?
Another question is different from the Maharaj, we all have anarthas in our hearts. So
you all have what in your heart?
Anarthas.
Anarthas.
So many times they come out. So I personally feel sometimes we take lot of care about them and we go into depression. So how should we take them? Should we take only the positive part of Krishna consciousness, or should we deal with them separately? How they will go away? Will take time? How should we actually deal with anarthas?
Yes, that's a good question. Well, the primary method, which is the positive approach, if you will, is to chant and hear the holy names of Krishna and the transcendental glories of Krishna with attention and without offense. If you chant and hear with attention, with your mind focused on the sound vibration of the holy name or on the transcendental topics of the Lord, the effect will be to cleanse the heart and purify the heart of anarthas. But at the same time, we also have to make an effort to keep them in check and ultimately to take them out. For example, you might have an anartha of becoming angry and shouting at a devotee or really insults at a devotee. So, for that to be fully removed by the process of chanting and hearing may take time. But in the meantime, you have to make an effort to control that tendency, because if you give in to it and, you know, become angry and abuse someone, then you become implicated in an offense. And offenses are actually more damaging than anarthas. So we have to do both at the same time, engage in the process of chanting and hearing. You should chant and hear in the mood of being purified, to pray to the Lord, pray to the holy name, pray to Srimad Bhagavatam to enter our hearts and purify our hearts. And at the same time, make an effort to check our bad tendencies. And if we do something wrong, as I gave the example of losing your temper, then you should apologize to the person and beg forgiveness. Or you could even say that I have this problem, it's not your problem, it's my problem, and don't take it personally, I'm sorry, I'm working on it, but sometimes I just lose control. So try to do something so that others are not offended by your weakness, or they don't have to suffer because of your weakness.
You are like from really different culture. So like Prabhu was telling me that after meeting Prabhupada, like you, the services you give towards him, towards Mahaprabhu's mission, it's like it must be very difficult for you and very different for you. Like even though we are from like India and we see something, some tinge of such things, but still, like when we are listening to great souls and reading Prabhupada books, still at the most, what I personally, at personal level, I feel is that the most I can think of is that doing my sadhana. There is no motivation that I should contribute or do some service towards Prabhupada or towards Guru or towards Mahaprabhu's mission. Like you have done so much service towards Prabhupada, towards this mission. It's coming from a very different culture. So can you tell how can we motivate that somehow our consciousness should go up, that we have to contribute something at our level to do something for this mission, for Prabhupada?
Yes. Service to the mission is very important. You said that the most you can think of doing now is your own personal sadhana. can't really think of doing more in the service to the mission. But what is the strength of your sadhana? However much you try, your sadhana is not perfect. So you need mercy. You need the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the way to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to serve him, to serve his mission. So what you said it expresses how you feel, but the reality is that your sadhana, so-called sadhana, or not so-called sadhana, but attempt at sadhana, your attempt at sadhana will not take you very far, because your sadhana is not so perfect. So to make progress, you need mercy. In the mercy of Gaur Nitai, and to get the mercy of Gaur Nitai, you have to serve their mission, serve the Sankirtan movement.
How can we differentiate between what is our nature and what we can change within ourselves?
Another good question. How can we distinguish what is our nature and which cannot be changed, and what can be changed? The main thing that needs to be changed is the consciousness. We want to change our consciousness from material to spiritual, from thinking of ourselves as the center to thinking of Krishna as the center, from thinking of exploiting others or exploiting situations for our own personal benefits, for sense gratification, to thinking of serving Krishna and serving devotees, and in a way serving innocent people by telling them about Krishna. So we have to change our consciousness. Your constitutional nature, Jiva Swarupai Krishna Nitya Das, your constitutional position is your eternal servant of Krishna. But you've come into the material world out of envy of Krishna. Krishna, Bhuryati, Bhoga, Vanchakari. You've come here to enjoy and forget Krishna. So that's what you have to change. You have to change your material consciousness, which you've been somehow cultivating for some time, into spiritual consciousness. As far as like your habits or your nature, I'm not sure exactly what you mean by nature, but
what is our nature and attachment? So how to distinguish between what is our nature and what is our attachment? False attachment.
Connected to Ashton.
So, at this point, I wanted to know
I wanted to know that what, how can we distinguish an attachment or an which is actually our nature. So I'm a bit confused as to identify a particular thing as an our nature or it is an attachment.
Well, the Varnashram Dharma system is meant to help us gradually. And pure bhakti is beyond Varnashram Dharma, but because we're conditioned and we have the mind and senses, we may need to be engaged according to our psychophysical propensities, according to the regulated principles, and at the same time develop Krishna consciousness by chanting and hearing. So, you know, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted from the prayers of Lord Brahma to Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, Gyane Prayasu Dapasya Namante Eva. One should give up the process of mental speculation. Jivanti Sanmu Karitam Bhavadiya Vartam. One should live in the association of devotees and hear the glories of Krishna from the mouths of devotees. Stane Stita. Now this is the one important point. Stane Stita means that you can remain in your position. If you're a brahmachari, you can remain brahmachari. If you're a grihastha, you can remain grihastha. If you're a kshatriya, you can remain kshatriya. If you're a vaishya, you can remain vaishya. You don't have to change your position. Stane tita shruti shruti gata tanuban manobhi. But you engage in hearing the glories of the Lord from devotees, and in engage in service with your body, mind, and words. And in that way, Krishna, who is unconquerable, Ajita, he becomes conquered. So that process of changing the consciousness from material to spiritual can be done in any position in Varnashram. But there may be a question, what is your proper position? And that is something that has to be considered very carefully. One has to examine himself to whatever degree he can, objectively, and consider, you know, am I really a brahmachari, or am I more suited to be a grihastha? And then one consults with one's seniors, one's superiors, one's guru, and can make a decision. But ultimately, you have to be honest with yourself, objective with yourself. What are you actually able to do? You don't want to try to do too much or too little. But you want to be properly situated so you can do the maximum
service, the best service. To some extent, it's a matter of trial and error. You try a position and it doesn't quite fit. It's like you go to a shoe store, you try different sizes and models of shoes. The first one doesn't always fit. You keep trying different ones. And, okay, this feels right. This fits. So, okay, I'll take this. There's an element of trial and error. You should do it in a very sober way. With all due care and caution and consideration. Not like you wake up and, okay, I'm taking sannyas, I'm going to the Himalayas, goodbye. Or wake up, oh, that bhakti, I think Krishna sent her just for me. This is, it's not me, it's Krishna. I know it. I know Krishna wants this. It can't be like so sentimental and so sudden. Way to be very careful and consult people who can help you.
Sometimes you develop some negative feeling or bad feeling for a devotee and something like that, and we don't want to talk with him for the rest of our life or something like that. And so how to overcome these type of situations, and because the mind and heart is not aligned to do so. So how to overcome these type of situations, because when we meet for the first time or second time, we really appreciate them, but after a interval of time, we feel some negative type of feelings. And then we don't want to have relationship with them. So how to overcome this type of situations with devotees, actually. I know that is wrong, but even though mind is not allowing to do so.
Well, if one is able to, one can try to analyze or assess what is the reason why you don't want to speak to the devotee? Because that makes a difference. Suppose the devotee is inclined to gossip. So it might be better, I mean, the best is if you can engage the devotee in chanting and hearing about Krishna. But if you can't, and the only relationship you can have with the devotee is based on gossiping and finding faults with other devotees, then it's probably better to avoid too much association. But you should still have a respectful attitude towards the devotee. If he's a devotee, he may have that weakness, but that weakness should not be prominent in your mind. Otherwise, you're the same as him. You don't like him because he finds fault with devotees, but now you're developing a fault-finding mentality towards him. So you should be respect him that he's a devotee, he's chanting the holy name, he's trying to make progress, he's rendering service. But he has this weakness. I also have so many weaknesses, so he has this weakness. And, you know, in due course, he may overcome it. But right now, he does have this weakness, so it's probably better that I don't associate with him too much, because he'll just want me to indulge in those topics which would not be good for me.
Previous question.
how do we actually decide whether the position in which we are feeling more comfortable is actually the right position? Because being conditioned, we might end up finding a position which is more cozy and which is not actually correct for devotional point of view. So how, what are the pointers or some guidelines so that we can see that the position which we have found out for ourselves to be fit is actually correct?
Yeah, that's true. That's similar to this question. You could actually do better, but out of laziness, you don't want to make the effort. So you put the blame on your nature, that you're born with the nature to have a wife that cooks for you, cleans the house, does the laundry, and if she can work and bring in some income, it's even better. And it's my nature. I can't go against my nature. But it might not actually be your nature, but you might be temporarily influenced by laziness, lethargy, ignorance. So it's usually better to try to be as free from encumbrances as possible. I don't know how old you are. You seem pretty young as a group. So, you know, try to stay as you are. And but you know, one really gets spiritual strength from having taste for devotional service. So you need to develop taste. Then you get to the position where param drishta nivartan, because you have the higher taste, but you're not inclined to the inferior taste of sense gratification. So this is the time to make as much spiritual progress as you can. And increase your taste for chanting Hare Krishna, increase your taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, increase your taste for associating with devotees, advanced devotees, pure devotees. And then in comparison, that so-called happiness of homely comforts and feminine charms loses its attraction or appeal. I mean, it may be that you're not able to spend your whole life like that, but it's good to begin in that position. Like Srila Prabhupada said, a good training as a brahmachari will help you as a grihastha. I mean, it comes to it that you have to enter grihastha ashram, and that brahmachari training will be good for you later in any situation. So, yeah.
Sometimes we do services and immediate results are very good, so we are enthusiastic to continue in that service. But sometimes the output seems to be zero. So how to develop that unconditional service attitude, that how to motivate ourselves at that time when there is no output? We are struggling, we are trying to do some service and there is no output.
What do you mean by output?
Means the way we are expecting.
Some examples you can give.
Like sometimes we are distributing books, so sometimes no one buys, so we feel demotivated, and sometimes people buy, so we feel motivated and continue. So like that, how can we continue when output is not in the way we expect?
Well, you have to understand that you are not the supreme controller. Krishna is the supreme controller. And in whatever activity it is, but let's say book distribution, you have to pray to Krishna, you know, what do you want me to do? And if things are not going well from a certain point of view, you try to learn what does Krishna want me to learn? Do I have to be more humble? Do I have to be more pure? Do I have to be more selfless? Do I have to be more alert? Do I have to maybe speak with some other devotees and tell them about my difficulty? Maybe I need to learn how to a better way to approach people. There can be so many levels of it. It could be a matter of technique, that you need to improve your technique. It could be a matter of consciousness, you need to improve your consciousness. Or it could be that you're in a place where you don't get good customers. Maybe you need to find a better location. Yeah, there could be many factors, but you shouldn't give up. You shouldn't give up. You should intensify your... You should think. You know, in other words, there's... With everything, there's like the spiritual level, and then there's the level of the ego. So you could be acting on the level of false ego. That, I was such a good student in school and I was so successful. And now, I'm not distributing many books at all. So I think I should try something else where I can be more successful. It's like a totally mundane conception. You want to be materially successful. You're not thinking of serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna. You're not thinking of helping people by giving them transcendental literature. You're just thinking of your image and reputation and false ego. But if you understand, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna and the devotees, and Krishna and the devotees want me to distribute books. And you have to take it to heart. It's not something that you can give up, but you just have to pursue it to the best of your ability. And that could involve, like I said, making some external adjustments in your approach, or it could involve making some adjustments in your consciousness. As many devotees have commented that when you're really out in the field and you're very sincere about your service, then like Krishna sends you messages even through the people that you're approaching. Like, as an example, one book distributor mentioned that on a particular day, someone, or maybe even more than one person, said, you're just out here to make money. So he thought within himself, well, maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe Krishna's trying to tell me something, that my motives aren't completely pure. Instead of thinking of how to get the transcendental knowledge to the conditioned soul, so the conditioned soul can become extricated from his material entanglement and become free. I'm just thinking, is he going to take the book and can I get enough money? And, so it can be that there's some impurity in you when you approach people, and they may pick up on it. They may pick up on it and say something, and you have to But don't react on the basis of who are you to tell me you're just a meat eating commie? maybe there is some impurity. Maybe Krishna is trying to tell me something through this person. I mean, it may be at a certain stage it turns out book distribution isn't your best service, but everyone should do book distribution. In the beginning, everyone should do book distribution. And if you can continue, it's wonderful. Yes.
Well, thank you, Maharaj, for your nice lecture today morning and day before yesterday. I had a doubt, Maharaj. Like, as we go in Krishna consciousness, we come across many devotees with different moods and different natures. And sometimes it is also advised to stay close to some devotees and stay apart from others. And it so happens that we start evaluating devotees. Like, how should we see? Like, should we evaluate? Should we not? And how to see this nature? Like, is it I'm not able to, like...
It's also a very good question. According to the question, you know, and it's natural, you'll naturally come closer to some devotees and not so close to others. I think that will happen. But we want to come close to devotees who can help us spiritually. Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī gives the definition of sadhu sangha, that svajati āśaye snigde sadhu sangha svato vare. Svajatiya means like sort of like-minded, the same, they should have like the same mood in the good sense. You know, want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, want to help to spread the Krishna consciousness movement, want to serve Śrīla Prabhupāda. And so Tovare, he should be more advanced than you. Now, of course, you will have relationships with people who are not more advanced, who are more or less on the same level, and you'll have relationships with people who are less advanced. But the real question is that sincerity of purpose. If they want to develop pure devotional service, if they want to develop pure devotional service, their good association, whether they're junior to you or senior or the same. But if they have mixed motives, now they want to engage in devotional service, they also want to enjoy the world, then unless they are coming to you, like they're attracted to you and you feel you can purify them, but otherwise if they're what we would say mixed devotees, if they're mixed devotees and you're not in a position where you can expand the spark, but the relationship with you will be mixed also, then the same thing, you respect the person, the channel doing service, and we hope sometime that those other desires will go away, but right now they're there. And so given how you can feel, you know, like how new I am or how weak I am, it's better that I associate with stronger devotees. Yeah. You have to be very careful because the seed of devotional service, Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed that Srila Prabhupada is giving, is to represent it by giving, is that Srila Bhakti for devotional service. But even though the seed is pure, it can become mixed. Like if you associate with non-devotees, then the seed of devotional service can become mixed with other seeds, other desires, other activities. So you have to be careful. Really associate with pure devotees. A junior devotee can also be a pure devotee in the sense of not having any other desire but to advance in Krishna consciousness. It can be it can happen very easily. You meet someone younger who's more pure in a way than you are, so that's good association. Even if, because they're new, they don't know so much, they don't have as much knowledge, they might ask you questions, you might have to give them answers. But they're pure, at heart they're pure, they're good association. And by their questions, they're giving you a chance to think about Krishna more, talk about Krishna more.
Yeah. It happens many times that our friends or even during the book distribution, people say something bad about Krishna or other devotees. So how can we deal with that? Because we are not spiritually so much advanced to answer them correctly, to give them a proper explanation. And if we ignore them, then that means that it gives them a feeling that they are correct and we are wrong, which is wrong. So how do we deal with that?
Yes, this is a very important thought, that when you meet people, if they blaspheme Krishna or devotees of Krishna, you have to respond. And Srila Prabhupada said that, therefore, preaching is the best way to be Krishna conscious, become Krishna conscious, because when you preach, you meet people who present opposing views or who ask difficult questions. And to answer them properly, you have to pray to Krishna to give you the intelligence how to answer properly. And that means that you're becoming Krishna conscious. You have to answer. Otherwise, like you said, they'll think, oh, they defeated you. You have no answer. You have to answer. And even if it's not perfect, at least it's a beginning. And if you feel that you could have done better, then you can, when you get back, you can speak to other devotees that someone said this to me on book distribution, and this is what I said, and this is how they responded. But like, maybe there's a better way to deal with the situation. In the old Boston temple, we used to practice. One devotee would play the part of an atheist or an impersonalist, and they would like act out. Like one would be the book distributor, and the atheist, oh, you know, get away from me, there's no God, this is all in your mind, and how do you... Or you meet someone, oh, I don't need this, I myself am God. This is all illusion, we're all God. Or even just simple things like, I have no time to read these books. Or I'm in a hurry, or I I don't have any money with me. Just whatever types of objections people get, and we would practice. We would practice them. Different devotees would have different strategies, and so we learned how to do that. Prabhupada actually wanted us to do that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would do that with his devotees. Sometimes he would play the part of an impersonalist and let them, you know, try to defeat him. And sometimes he'd ask them to play the part of the impersonalist and he would defeat them. So it's like in sports, the teams, they have their maneuvers, they practice. They don't just go out on the field. They practice. So we also practice. Surgeons, they practice. They get some cadaver, they practice. You know. They don't go into the operating theater and practice. The first time they cut is it's on a live It's the practice. So we have serious work. We have very responsible work. So we should be prepared when we go out there. Yes.
Of different faiths and religions, and like how should we should we tell them to practice their religion perfectly, or should we try to bring them to Krishna? Like, what is the right approach?
Well, if you're out there to teach books and you meet someone who identifies with a different religion, well, what Srila Prabhupada said is that you can remain a Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim, but you add this, and it will help you become a better Hindu or Christian or Muslim. Hindu means whatever, Shaivite, Shakta, or, you know, whatever Hindu is. I know some devotees, they say the person saying I'm a Muslim, very good. Very good, I love Muslims, and Christian. And then, maybe it's sort of, in that way, break the ice so they feel you're with them, and then, you could even discuss something unrelated to the books. And then you say, I've really learned a lot about God. Would you like to know more about God? And, just take it completely off that sectarian platform. If you believe in God, then probably want to know as much about Him as you can. His books will tell you more about God than you might know now. You don't have to. We want you to stay a Muslim. It's good you're a Muslim. But this will teach you more about God if you become a better Muslim. Yeah. But if they're best thing is sort of establish a little friendship with them. There's one devotee from South Africa, in a white body. His name is Madhu Mangal. He's amazing the way he makes friends with people and gets them to take books. Like that was. It doesn't matter what it is, he just makes friends with them. Like he noticed a guy had a sticker, say no to drugs. I don't know if they have that type of sticker here. So he saw the person get out of the car and come near him. He said, I saw that sticker. That is so good. You know, the world needs more people like you. You know, say no to drugs. I know you're not interested in drugs, but you're having that sticker for the younger generation. You know, it's so good what you're doing for the younger generation. But just like find something to appreciate about them, which is genuine, and he just really glorifies them for it and sort of makes friends. And at the end he said, by the way, I have this book, you know. It's just, oh yeah. It's nothing. You know, people are so happy if someone appreciates them and recognizes, not, you know, some good qualities in them. And, or sometimes it'll help them. Like once he was distributing outside a supermarket, near there's like a they have a vending machine for water. Like instead of buying bottled water, you can bring like a big like 3-gallon container and get bulk from a. So like. You know, it might, like, help. Sometimes people bring, like, 3-4. So, like, he'll say, can I help you? I can help carry this to your car. And usually it's, no, I want to. I can see you're a good person. It's nothing for me. I have the time. I can just make some relationship with that. Really an amazing person. Distributes so many books. He's probably 55 or 60 years old now, but he'll probably never stop because the way he does it, he makes a lot of friends and distributes a lot of books. And because they get the book from a friend, they feel like they're getting it from a friend. So they, yeah, let me see this. Yeah, I want to learn more about God. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. I have a little prasad for you. So how will you be spending your next...
We'll be going today evening for temple darshan in the Vrindavan.
Okay.
And tomorrow we'd like to do parikrama of Giriraj. So we need
good,
to...
Good, yeah. Well, Giriraj Govardhan, he fulfills all desires, so it's a good chance to pray. Even if you don't pray, he knows what your desires are. But you can pray that he fulfills only the desires that are favorable for devotional service, in case there's some others. And, it's a wonderful opportunity. So yeah, and will you like stop at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram?
Yeah.
Wonderful. I wish you all the best.
We are very grateful to Maharaj. Actually, it's very rare to see nowadays Maharaj, 95 and all that. Singing Pune Yatra anywhere. So it's a really great fortune that we could have his lectures and his personal time. And I'm so grateful you took out
such meet all of you.
Valuable lessons.
Good.
Sorry if any inconvenience you got about.
No, it was a pleasure. I had to do a few things before I met you. But I'm very happy we met. Hare Krishna. 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 Just one
1 minute.
Yeah, just to about the devotee Manu Mangal from South Africa. Just to give you an idea of the range of his versatility. Sometimes, if someone's smoking, he'll go up, he'll put his arm around them and say, "You know, my friend, smoking is very bad for your health. You know, you really should give it up." And then quite often they'll say, "Yeah, I know. I know it's bad for my health. I want to give it up. I've tried, but I can't." And then you just... It's not always like congratulating them for something good about them. It could be... But he's like so genuine. They really take it as a friend. They don't get too defensive. And then it's, you know, then you can talk about the higher taste or even practical things. Like Prabhupada had a disciple, he became one of the main disciples, Shyamasundara Prabhu. He was smoking. And he asked Prabhupada what he should do, and Prabhupada said, "You know, how many do you smoke a day? Maybe one pack, even two packs." And say, "Maybe, I don't know, 32 and a half, or 20 and a half," he said. "Every day you smoke one less. And then eventually you'll get down to zero, and then that's it. You stay at zero." So, anyway, I thought I would mention that because you know, not everyone can do, I can't do what he does. But we all should find some way to befriend the people. It's like, I mean, I had the realization myself as a new distributor, and then I heard Vaisheshika Prabhu say it. I didn't articulate it, but I knew it. But he articulated it, that what people are buying in most cases is not the book, but you. If they like you, then they'll take the book. So you have to... you have to be the type of person that they want to take, to keep them. And the book is sort of a token of it. Everyone back? All right. Thank you much, and again, all the best. And then after Govardhan,
then they will go back to their homes because their vacations are there.
Oh, so okay.
Just before vacation, they can come down after the exam.
Good.
Their semester trying.
Good.
So 4 days in Vrindavan, 10 days at home, and again back to there.
Okay, well, that will be a challenge going home. I have to, gradually see. Anyway, that would be a whole other topic. But, I'm sure you know this. Be nice to everyone, be friendly to everyone. Be gracious to everyone. Don't try to treat them it's the same thing. Try to give them as much as they can take, but not too much. All right. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada.